Hi everyone. So you're trying to, connect the dots, figure out how everything fits together for your well-being, but without getting totally bogged down in jargon.
Yeah, feeling overwhelmed isn't the goal.
Definitely not. And that's what this deep dive is all about today. We're exploring those really powerful links between nutrition, your brain health, and just your overall vitality, looking specifically at, the landscape for 2025.
Right. And for this, we've pulled together some, I think, really compelling sources. We've got insights from a podcast chat with a psychiatrist, Dr. Drew Ramsey, actually, who focuses on food and the mind. Then several articles looking ahead at nutrition trends for next year, and even a piece from Health Affairs on the policy side of food and health.
Exactly. And what's so interesting is how these things, what we eat, how our brains are doing, these bigger health trends, they're not separate at all, are they?
Not at all. Deeply intertwined.
We're going to unpack how diet hits your brain directly. And that's super relevant if you're navigating, say, perimenopause or menopause, because a huge chunk of those symptoms, they actually start in the brain.
That's a key point, yeah.
And we'll look at what's coming in nutrition for 2025. Personalized eating, the protein buzz, food is medicine, that whole movement.
And how they connect back to our mental and physical state.
Right. Plus, we need to touch on this growing awareness around toxins in food, the environment, and how we can kind of support our body's own cleaning crew.
Daily detox, but the sensible kind.
Yeah, exactly. The aim here is to give you a really clear, actionable picture of this vital connection.
Okay, so let's dive in with that brain-food relationship first. It's pretty staggering, that statistic. Roughly 80% of the symptoms women experience in perimenopause and menopause,
Yeah.
things like mood swings, feeling less resilient to stress, sleep issues, they are brain-derived.
Wow, 80%. That really hammers home how vital brain health is during that life stage.
It absolutely does. It shifts the focus, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
And, the source has brought up this idea of the modern brain.
Ah,
Think
yeah.
about it, the constant emails, notifications, just information coming at us all the time. Our brains are working in such a different world than, like, even 20 years ago.
Totally different. So supporting optimal brain health isn't just, preventing problems down the road.
Right. It's about actually being able to thrive now in
Yeah,
this world.
precisely. And when we talk about supporting a healthy brain, nutrition is, well, it's fundamental. Key nutrients, omega-3s, iron, vitamin B12, they're absolutely vital for neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity. That's the brain's ability to change and adapt,
Yeah,
right? Make new connections.
exactly. It's flexibility. And these nutrients aren't just abstract concepts. They're literally the building blocks and the fuel the brain needs to stay resilient and healthy. Omega-3s, for example, they're crucial for the actual structure of brain cell membranes,
Okay.
which helps the cells talk to each other. Communication.
Got it. What really struck me, though, was the perspective on mental fitness.
Dr. Ramsey's concept.
Yeah. It wasn't presented as like another thing to feel guilty about not doing perfectly.
No, not another obligation.
It felt more empowering, like physical fitness, something positive you do for yourself on an ongoing basis.
That's a great way to put it, an inspirational practice, not an oppressive one.
Yeah.
And building on that, the sources also mentioned therapy.
Right, not just for crisis mode.
Exactly. But as part of that ongoing mental fitness routine, like maintenance for your mind, just like exercises for your body.
Okay, so brain food connection, undeniable, super important. Now, let's look ahead. These big nutrition trends predicted for 2025. How do they intersect with brain health? Personalized nutrition seems huge.
It really is. You're seeing this boom in nutrigenomics, basically understanding how your specific genes affect how you use nutrients.
Okay.
And AI is getting involved, creating these super tailored health recommendations.
Right.
And these tools can offer really useful insights, things specific to you, but, and this is important, they really need to be used alongside a healthcare professional.
Ah, okay. So it's not a replacement for seeing a doctor or a dietitian.
Definitely not. They see the whole picture. A genetic test might say, I don't know, you metabolize B vitamins differently, but the doctor puts that into context with your lifestyle, your overall health.
That makes sense because for the brain specifically, and that whole gut-brain axis we hear so much about,
Yeah, crucial link.
a one-size-fits-all diet probably isn't the answer, is it?
Yay.
What helps one person's gut bacteria might not work for someone else.
Exactly right. That personalization could be really key for optimizing that connection.
Okay. What else? The high protein trend seems like it's still going strong.
Oh, absolutely. Consumers are definitely focused on protein for feeling full, satiety, and for keeping muscle mass, especially as we age. And, you know, while most people in the US probably get enough protein overall, individual needs can really vary depending on activity level, age, other factors.
And it's not just about steak and chicken anymore, is it? Plant-based proteins, even things like mycoprotein.
Right. Sustainability is a big driver there too. These alternatives offer ways to get your protein with maybe a smaller environmental footprint. Mycoprotein, that's the one from fungi, is getting more attention.
Interesting. Okay, another one that caught my eye. Foods that promote healthy aging.
Yes, the focus on longevity, or maybe more accurately, health span.
Health span, meaning living healthier for longer, not just longer.
Exactly. It's about quality of life. And the Blue Zone diet principles often come up here.
Those places where people live exceptionally long, healthy lives.
Right. And their diets often feature less meat, lots of legumes, whole foods, less sugar, less dairy. It's more about those consistent long-term patterns than any quick fix.
Makes sense. Okay, what about functional water? Sounds fancy.
Yeah. These are drinks with added stuff, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, claiming benefits beyond just hydration.
So are they worth it?
Well, they can seem like an easy nutrient boost, but you really have to watch out for added sugars or artificial sweeteners. Lots of them have those.
Ah, okay. The hidden stuff.
Exactly. Honestly, whole foods are almost always the better bet for getting your nutrients in balance. Functional water, maybe occasionally, but it shouldn't replace eating well.
Got it. And the last trend you mentioned, probiotics beyond pills.
Yeah, this ties back to that gut-brain axis understanding. It's expanding.
So not just capsules anymore.
Right. We're seeing more foods and drinks with probiotics added, plus a real appreciation for fermented foods, yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi.
The traditional stuff.
Exactly. It's about incorporating gut support more naturally into your diet.
Okay, that leads really nicely into this whole food is medicine concept.
Yeah.
That seems to be getting a lot of traction, not just with consumers, but in like healthcare policy too.
Absolutely. There's a definite growing interest in using food strategically. Things like medically tailored meals or produced prescriptions.
Produce prescriptions, like a doctor prescribing vegetables.
Sort of, yeah. Programs that help people access fresh fruits and vegetables to manage or prevent illness. The core idea is harnessing food's therapeutic power.
And apparently, the first big national survey on this showed that, well, maybe healthcare pros need more nutrition training.
That was a key finding, yes. A need for more training and also for better integration of these programs into big systems like Medicare and Medicaid.
And does it? Does it
Yeah.
actually work,
Yeah.
like financially?
Well, the evidence is building. Studies are showing that these kinds of programs, especially medically tailored meals for folks with diet-related diseases,
Yeah.
can lead to real cost savings. Fewer ER visits, fewer hospital readmissions. It suggests investing in food can actually reduce overall healthcare spending.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
It is. And it's not just what food is provided either. The sources stress the importance of community organizations and cultural safety,
Yeah.
meaning the programs need to respect people's backgrounds, their food traditions make sense in their lives. They need to be accessible and appropriate to be truly effective. Equity is key.
Right, okay. That makes total sense. So let's loop back to the brain focus. This mental fitness idea really clicks with food as medicine, doesn't it?
It really does. It's proactive. Nutritional psychiatry sees food as more than just energy. It's literally the raw material for brain structure and function. It influences neuroplasticity directly.
So what we eat is constantly shaping our brain's ability to cope, learn, adapt.
Precisely. You're building mental resilience with every bite, in a way.
And it's not just about food, right? The sources mentioned other practical habits.
Oh, yeah. Things we can all do. Regular movement, physical activity is huge for the brain.
Okay.
Also, acknowledging how past stress or trauma might still be affecting our stress response now.
That's important.
And even something as simple as journaling, getting thoughts out can be incredibly beneficial.
These are all part of that sort of holistic mental fitness toolkit.
Exactly. And Dr. Ramsey's book, Healing the Modern Brain, really lays out that whole fitness-based approach, practical strategies.
Okay, one last major theme. This rising concern about toxins in our food, our environment. People seem way more aware now.
Definitely. There's increased awareness and concern about things like pesticides, chemicals used in food processing, and rightly so. The science on their potential long-term effects is growing.
And it's not just consumers pushing this, right? Governments are looking at it too.
Seems that way. Talk about stricter limits on chemicals, pledges from health agencies to reduce toxins in the food supply. It's becoming part of the conversation at higher levels.
Okay, so while that's happening systemically, what can we do? this daily detox idea came up.
Right. And it's not about those extreme juice-only cleanses you sometimes hear about.
Okay.
No, it's about supporting your body's natural detoxification systems, your liver, kidneys, skin, gut, through consistent, smart choices.
So what does that look like practically?
It's things like minimizing ultra-processed foods, using organic when you can, or washing produce well. Staying hydrated water is key. Getting enough fiber from whole foods, plenty of antioxidants from colorful fruits and veggies. Regular exercise helps too. Good sleep is crucial.
Sounds like just healthy living, really.
In many ways, yes. It's about reducing the burden on your body and giving it the tools it needs to do its job efficiently. That story about Jason Karp, who overhauled his health by focusing on clean, unprocessed foods, it really highlights how powerful that consistent approach can be.
It really does. Wow. You know, when you lay it all out, it's amazing how interconnected everything is.
It really is.
The focus on brain health, especially during hormonal shifts, these nutrition trends like personalization and gut health, the food is medicine movement, mental fitness, cleaner eating.
They all feed into each other. It shows this growing understanding, I think, of just how profoundly nutrition impacts everything about our well-being, especially as we look towards 2025.
Yeah, these aren't just separate little boxes. They're all part of the same big picture.
Absolutely. A holistic view is emerging.
Okay, so let's try and crystallize the main takeaways here. We've definitely seen that strong, undeniable link between nutrition and brain function, right?
Yeah.
Particularly important during times like menopause.
Crucial. And we've seen the trends personalization, protein, gut health, functional foods, all pointing towards more targeted, health-focused eating.
Plus the growing clout of food as medicine as a real therapeutic tool, alongside that empowering idea of proactive mental fitness supported by nutrition.
And finally, that critical need to be mindful of toxins and actively support our body's own detox pathways through smart, clean food choices.
And just knowing about these connections, understanding these trends, that gives you power, doesn't it?
It really does. Knowledge empowers you to make those informed choices for yourself, for your own health and vitality.
So here's something to maybe chew on, part of the pun.
Oh, fair.
Which of these areas really sparked something for you listening? Which trend or idea kind of lit up? And maybe think about one small thing, one tiny action step you could take today just to explore it a bit more.
Yeah, could be anything. Researching a brain-boosting nutrient, trying one new whole food recipe.
Or just reading an article about cleaner eating. It doesn't have to be huge.
No, just that first step towards feeling your best.